Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's go to the Lord again and ask for His help. Father, we confess we need You this morning, and we want to hear from You. We don't want to hear what I have to say. We want to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, Lord, we pray You would help us focus in on what You're saying. We pray, Lord God, that You would let us hear what You want to say to the church in Alney. Father, we ask that we would not just be hearers this morning. We do pray we would be hearers. We pray You would give me a volume, Father. Teach me how to speak this morning that people might hear even without the luxury of sound equipment. We pray that people would hear. And Lord, we pray that people would hear what You want them to hear in the way You want them to hear it, with the tone and the voice. And Lord, I pray You would put love in my heart and compassion, Lord, for the people before me, that they might hear what You want them to hear from Your Word. And God, we pray we would not just hear, but we would do, that You would actually change our lives as a result of spending this time together and meditating on Your Word. And so, Holy Spirit, be with us and change us and make us more holy and loving and unified in Christ. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Henry Scougal said these words, wrote these words, and I've shared these with you before, but he said this: the worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love. You want to see how worth, the value, the worth of a soul, you measure that by the object of the soul's love, what the soul delights in, what the soul loves and cherishes. That's how you determine the value and worth and excellency of a soul, Mr. Scougal says. And in our passage today, we see God give a description of the worthless soul. The worthless soul. The worthless person. The troublemaker. The person who divides. Not a peacemaker, but a peace taker, a peace breaker. A peace faker, the wicked man who loves evil and loves sin and who opposes God. This person does what God hates. And God's loving goal for us this morning in showing us this worthless person is to warn us, don't be like this. Turn from this. Be warned and turn. And you might say, well, I'm not like this person. I listened when you read that text, and that's not me, so can I go home early? Well, if you are both humble and honest with yourself and your heart and your thoughts, you know there are seeds of this person dwelling in your heart. If you are humble and honest, you know there are seeds of this person dwelling in your heart. I know that. I was shown that this week in an outburst I had full of pride and selfishness and wanting to toot my own horn and ministry here. Oh, God showed me that the seeds of this wicked man are in Pastor Joseph's heart, and he needs to kill them and put them to death. Friend, if you're honest, you know these seeds still dwell in your heart. And yet what we want to do, we want to be we don't want to be like the worthless person. We want to be like the people of worth who have the greatest and most beautiful and most glorious and most valuable object to ever cross the horizon of our world to be the object of our love, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what gives you your deepest worth, is your relationship with Christ. You see, your identity in Christ. And so I pray, we pray, Lord, that as we study this passage, we would flee from worthlessness and cling to He who is most worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, point number one, the worthless person. Look with me again at verses 12 through 16. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. And one commentator named Clifford breaks down a description of this wicked man in six parts. Number one, I'm going to use those as a guide. Number one is his essence. Number two, his demeanor or outward behavior. Number three, his inner life. Number four, his effect upon society. And number five, destiny. Five, not six. His destiny. So let's think about this wicked, worthless man's essence. His essence, who he is described as worthless, wicked. This is a person who opposes God, who is God's enemy, a God-hater, if you will. This word for worthless in the Hebrew, Belial, it became used for Satan himself. In 2 Corinthians 6:15, we read, "What accord has Christ with Belial?" And so you get a picture of the kind of evil and worthlessness that the Scripture is describing this person to be. One who hates God, is in opposition to God, is working against God, and if could get their hands around God, would kill God. Christians here this morning, do you realize that you were once enemies of God? You were once enemies of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." Friend, we all once were God's enemies. We all were once this worthless, wicked person, but God who is rich in mercy has come and sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and rise from the dead that we might be reconciled to God and be His friend. But the wicked person knows none of this grace. The wicked person, the worthless man, knows none of this reconciliation. Secondly, their demeanor or their outward behavior. Look at how their outward behavior is described. Crooked speech. Verse 13, winks with the eyes and signals with his feet and points with the finger. Crooked speech referring to lying. This person is a liar. They don't tell the truth. They make a practice of untruths and lying. They spread rumors. They spread rumors. They talk about people behind their back. They gossip. They gossip about people. They might even come at it from a prayer request standpoint. "Brother, you need to pray for this guy. Look, this is what they did." So it has a very religious veneer around it, but it's gossip nonetheless. They slander. They speak evilly of people. They use non-specific speech. They say things like, "They're not loving," but they can't point to one concrete thing this person has ever done that's unloving. Their speech is crooked and evil and wicked. Their gestures are evil. Notice these gestures. Winks with the eye. Signals with his feet. Points with his finger. I'm not saying that every time that you wink, that's evil. What commentators think, some commentators think this might having to do with sorcery. Some kind of sorcery. But more truthfully, more accurately, I think it speaks to this person's doing wickedness secretly. They're conniving people, planning evil, and they have followers, Waltke says, that they signal to do their bidding, to be in partnership, in gang with them, to go out and do evil, and they have signals to direct this evil. It's sly, it's secretive. It's in the dark, but they have these secret signals to direct the evil. What about their inner life? Their inner life. The scripture says their hearts are perverted. They have corrupt hearts. They have evil hearts, depraved hearts. Scripture speaks of the heart as the center of who you are. From your heart comes your words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From your heart come your desires and your feelings and your hopes and your dreams and your motivations and your actions. All that comes from the heart. And the wicked, worthless man has a perverse heart. A perverted heart. Friend, that might not always be so readily apparent. There are preachers who have perverse hearts that wrap their perversity in the scripture language. You'll find them on TBN. They say, give a seed and you'll get money. They fly around in million-dollar jets and have big homes, million-dollar homes, and they steal money from God's people so they can live plush lives. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school class. Friends, those who have the most perverse hearts often will come to you as the most great-looking outside. Beware. Beware. But their heart is perverse and wicked and evil. And look at their effect upon society. Verse 14, they devise evil continually, sowing discord. The worthless person causes division between people. They don't bring people together. They move people apart. They separate people. They don't bring unity. They're dividers. They divide by their very nature. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, who fought in the civil rights movement to bring unity. This wicked person, this wicked man, they are racist. They bring division. They stir it up by their words, by their hatred, and by their evil toward others. Whether it be a race difference or a class difference or an age difference, they divide. Friend, Jesus Christ is the only answer to that division. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Jesus Christ who shed His blood for every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Jesus Christ is the only answer who we're all one in Christ Jesus. There's no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male, female, all are one in Christ Jesus. That's the dream, that we would be one in Christ Jesus. Family in Christ Jesus. Having the thickest blood, Christ's blood, bind us as one people, Christ people. That's the answer. But these wicked men, these worthless men, they divide. They divide by gossip. They divide by being argumentative. They divide by being proud. They divide by losing their temper. They divide by false accusation and lying. They divide by seeking their own good rather than the good of the whole. They divide by escalating situations of unrest and anger rather than cooling things down. Married couples, are you a divider or a unifier? Think about that in your relationships. Are you a unifier or a divider? One of the most helpful proverbs with this is Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, that God would make us peacemakers in this church. That we would race to see in the disagreement, in the argument, who's going to answer softly first. Let's answer each other softly, husbands, wives, children. A soft answer turns away wrath. Oh, that God would make us peacemakers and shock absorbers. Let's promote unity in this church as we pursue Jesus as our greatest treasure and delight. But the wicked person does not do this. They divide. And what is their destiny? Verse 15. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. Or without remedy. Friend, God will bring justice to every wicked, worthless person. God will bring justice to every wicked, worthless person. And notice, it's beyond healing. It's beyond healing. It's without remedy. There's no going back. Friend, that points us to the eternal, unchanging nature of hell. That there is a hell that Jesus spoke of more than anyone else in the Bible combined. He says in Mark 9, 47 through 48, Jesus said, "And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." This is the end of the wicked, worthless person. There's no remedy. There's no healing. There's no going back. It's fixed. The place is fixed forever. And they will endure eternal punishment. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you've not repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not turned away from the worthlessness and wickedness and sin, and you've never come to the glorious, worthy one, the Lord Jesus. Friend, this is your destiny. But friend, one reason we're here is so this won't be your destiny. We want to tell you about the Savior Jesus, who came into this world to save the wicked and save the worthless. He lived the most worthy life, the most righteous life, and died on that cross where He suffered the wrath of God, the curse of God, and then rose up on the third day so that if you turn from your sins and believe in Him, you can be forgiven. You can be saved. You can have a new destiny with God forever, where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, if that's a new message for you, or you're hearing that for the first time, or it's taking root in your heart in a different way this morning, I would love to speak with you about it. I'll be in the back afterwards. You can come over for lunch and talk to me at my house. Find another Christian here and speak with them about this gospel message. We want you to be saved. We want you to be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Well, point number two. Point number two, God hates the worthless person. God hates the worthless person. Look at Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes. And as I read through this, I just want to make a point that phrase that God loves the sinner but hates the sin is not totally accurate. He hates haughty eyes, not just pride. He hates the eyes. A lying tongue. He hates the tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates a heart that devises wicked plans. He hates feet that make haste to run to evil. He hates a false witness. That's a person. He hates them. He hates a false witness who breathes out lies. And he hates one who sows discord among brothers. He hates the person who sows discord among brothers. John MacArthur says about this portion of Scripture, the sequence of these two numbers, the six things that the Lord hates, seven are an abomination. The sequence of these two numbers was used both to represent totality and as a means of arresting attention. These seven detestable sins provide a profound glimpse into the sinfulness of man. These verses act as a summary of the previous warnings. So if you notice, the haughty eyes harkens back to verse 13. They wink. Right? They wink with their eyes. He hates haughty eyes. A lying tongue harkens back to verse 12, the perverse mouth. The hands that shed innocent blood point back to the fingers. The heart, he mentions the perverse heart. The feet, he signals with his feet, harkens back to the worthless man that we just read about. The false witness harkens back to the man, the worthless man who lies. And then the discord points back to the fact that this worthless person sows discord among brothers. So this is a filling out of the worthless man and his sins. And God is saying, I hate this. I hate this. And I imagine that for some of you, it is a shock to hear that God hates. You may have never heard this before, that God hates. And friend, this is one reason I encourage people to read the whole Bible every year. Often we just read little portions that make us feel nice and fuzzy inside. We need a little verse here to get us through the day. But God wants you to know the whole counsel of God. He wants you to know that there's an aspect of Him that hates, you see. And there's things we can learn from that. And so we're preaching through the Bible verse by verse so that you get a big picture, a true picture, a whole picture of who God is. And God hates. Why does God hate? Friend, God hates because He is so holy. He is so good. He is so righteous. That's why He hates. An illustration of this. You mothers out there who have children, you let somebody mess with one of your children. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wouldn't want to mess with Tara messing with her Aaron. No. Like a mother bear protecting her cubs, she will crush you. She will crush you if you mess with her baby. That's a little picture of what it means that God hates. You know it. You know how you react to certain evil in the world. That you hate that evil. When you hear what some people do to little children, you hate. You want some I better not say that. You want some strict punishments. And that anger in you is a pointer that you're made in God's image. You see. And so God hates. He hates with intensity, an abomination, because He's so good, so holy, so righteous, so pure. Friends, that's why hell is so bad. Sometimes people have a hard time understanding, why is hell so bad? Eternal. It never ends. Billions and billions and billions and billions of years later, people will still be burned in fire by the holy, wrathful God. Why is hell so bad? We don't understand that because we don't understand the goodness of God. He is infinitely holy. He is infinitely good. He's infinitely righteous. And so the only just penalty against an infinite being is eternal hell. And so God hates evil. And God commands us to hate evil. Psalm 97:10, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. Well, what does God hate? What does God hate? God hates pride. He hates haughty eyes. Pride, the most concise, easy way I can define pride is focusing on yourself and not focusing on God. Focusing on self and not focusing on God. So it could come across as strong. I'm the best. I'm the best this. I'm the best that. Look at me. Look at how great I am. It can look that way, or it can look like this. I'm so bad. I'm so terrible. I'm such a loser. I'm such a failure. I. In both, the focus is I. Pride focuses on self. Humility forgets self and loses itself in the glory and the beauty and the power and the might of God. And so God hates this pride, these haughty eyes, because God deserves all glory, all honor, all pride, all of our pride. He deserves all of our pride. I'm proud of God. I delight in God. I boast in God. You see, God hates pride because He deserves all glory. 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God hates liars. God hates liars. Verse 17, He hates a lying tongue. God is a God of truth. He loves the truth. He is truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. God hates hands that beat up people or murder the innocent. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. I saw one pastor post. He was a pastor, if you remember, this summer. We had the big choir come up from Alabama and sing. And I saw him post an article about a gang of teenagers who were stealing cars. And they shot a 33-year-old man, father of two sons. He had a wife. He was a military veteran, and they just shot him. He's dead. Another widow. Another fatherless children. Another wife weeping over the loss of her husband. Shedding of innocent blood. God hates that. He hates those boys' hands. He hates that. When my parents were here over Christmas, the day after Christmas, there was a shooting right on this side of American Street. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. This is Sanctity of Life Sunday, where so many churches are lifting high the right for little babies to have life. Friend, God hates Dr. Berger's hands. He hates Dr. Benjamin's hands. He hates the abortion doctor's hands. He hates the mother's and father's hands who would slaughter their own little babies. He hates that. What's more innocent than a little baby? God hates it. Praise God, He also loves. Praise God, He also loves. He loves. I'm going to take a little intermission here. Don't want you to get too overwhelmed. God loves sinners. I tell people, the Bible teaches God hates sinners, but praise God, He loves sinners. He loves the hands that shed innocent blood. That's why He sent His Son to die and save them. Oh, if you've heard the testimonies of abortion doctors who come to a realization that Christ is all, and they repent of their sins, and now they're champions for the unborn, telling them that yes, they are babies, yes, they are children, and they've been saved. They've been saved. They've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And so God saves abortion doctors. He saves men and women who kill their own children. He saves sinners who repent and believe in Him and washes you clean by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, He's worthy. He saves sinners who repent, who turn from sin, who forsake sin, who come to know Christ. That's why Jesus came. To save sinners. To save God-haters. To save people who God loves and yet who God's angry with. God hates hearts that devise wicked plans. Verse 18. This worthless man gets creative with wickedness. They get creative about how to plan to be wicked. Any time we plan to sin, which is every time, you might think, oh, it just came upon me. No. No, there's some kind of planning going on. It doesn't just come upon you. We often use that as an excuse. Oh, I was just overcome by my anger. The devil just got into me. Well, maybe so, but you have a sinful heart. And the seeds of this wicked man are in you. And God calls you to repent and turn from it. So this wicked, worthless man hates or devises wicked plans. Plans to do wickedly. God hates feet that hurry to run to do evil. So this person is one who eagerly seeks evil. They run after it. They flock after it. They delight in doing what God hates. God hates the false witnesses who breathe out lies. This is a little bit more specific situation in that it's a false witness. So you're in a lying in a court situation. Going to court, going before court and lying about someone's character. God hates that. He hates those who would seek to get others in trouble and lie. And finally, God hates the one who sows discord among brothers. Verse 19. I've already covered this a little bit, but this is the opposite of Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. God loves unity. He loves when His people get along and are of one accord and love what God loves. And so He hates those who would sow discord among the brothers. Friends, think before you speak. Think before you speak to one another. Reread that email before you send it. In fact, maybe you shouldn't send it. Ever. Maybe you should talk to the person face to face. Face to face is always better. If you've got to discuss something with somebody that you know it has the potential to explode in certain ways, go face to face. Go face to face and talk to the person. One key to this unity that I so long for us to have in this church, the opposite of those who would sow discord among brothers, which God hates, is that we have love. That we have love. That we have love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Pray that God would work this into our hearts more and more. There's a person in this congregation who loves me. I'm sure there are more, but I'm thinking of a particular person here. They love me and they have seen me at my worst. My worst. Where if you saw a little snapshot of me, you'd say, he's not even a believer. This person has seen me at my worst, and yet they love me still. You see? And I know this person is for me. They are for me. They pray for me. They support me. They overlook the stupid things that I say and do and the way I act and the sins. And we repent and we're reconciled. Oh, friends, that we would love one another that way in this church. That every one of us would know He's for me. She is for me. She wants what's best for me. Like she wants the best for her very son or daughter, they want the best for me.
Friend, we need that kind of love. We need that kind of love in this church. Pray God would do it more and more and keep us from any kind of discord. Well, the good news in all of this, and this is where we'll end. The good news is that God has seen us at our worst. God has seen us at our very worst. God knows what you think. The things you don't say, but you think. God knows that. He knows what's in your heart. God knows us at our very worst. And friend, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been reconciled to God, He loves you as a child. He loves you as a child. He's seen the things that we do that He hates, and yet He loves us still. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still worthless, while we were still His enemies, while we were still God-haters, Christ died for us. Jesus, above all, has the greatest worth. He has the greatest worth. Yet on that cross, He was counted as the worthless, wicked man. Jesus only and always used His eyes and feet and fingers to perform the most holy, the most loving, and the most miraculous gestures. Yet He was counted as a conniving and secretive and deceiving troublemaker on that cross. Jesus' heart only devised what is good, what is righteous and pleasing to His Father. Yet on that cross, He was counted as the man who devises evil. Jesus was and is our only hope for unity. Yet He was counted as the one who continually sows discord. On that cross, the calamity of God's wrath came upon Him suddenly, and it seemed as if there would be no healing. He was counted as the hated one on the cross. Oh, friends, I hope you're feeling the love of God right now. Jesus, the treasure of heaven, the treasure of the universe, the treasure of glory. He was counted as the worthless one in your place, in my place. He was counted as the wicked man. He was counted as the hated one on that cross. Everything God hates was heaped upon Him and counted as His. Haughty eyes, though He had the most humble, the most loving, the most precious eyes to ever cross the horizon of this world, haughty eyes were counted as His eyes. He had a tongue that only spoke what is true, only spoke what is righteous, but a lying tongue was counted as His tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Friend, His hands only did what was loving, what was right, what was pure, what was helping innocent blood. And yet His hands were counted as hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans was counted as His, though He had the heart of hearts of gold that anyone could have. Feet that make haste to run evil were counted as His feet, though He had the most beautiful feet ever that spread the good news of the gospel. A mouth breathing out lies was counted as His, though He only spoke the truth. Sowing discord among brothers was counted as His sin, though He's the only hope for unity and always brought people together. But because of His most humble eyes, because He is the most truthful tongue, because He has the most loving hands, because He has the most God-honoring plans, because He made haste to only and always do good, because His mouth always and perfectly only spoke the truth in love, because He alone brings unity like this world has never seen, He was raised from the dead. You see, death couldn't hold Him. Because He's all that worth, all that value, all that beauty, all that glory. And He was just counted our filth and our worthlessness. The grave couldn't hold Him because He knew no sin. But He was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Jesus Christ is worth the most. Jesus Christ is worth the most. To everlasting joy, our host. Oh, friend, God hates, but He loves. He loves. And so He made His Son, that which He hates, to save those whom He loves. sinners who repent. Jesus Christ is worth the most. To everlasting joy, our host. For all God hates that's foul and gross, He punished in His Son utmost. So in the cross alone we boast. In the cross alone we boast. And so let's go to the Lord and boast in the cross together. Father, we adore You. God, we adore You that You are so good and righteous and holy that You do hate. And yet, Lord, You love sinners. We praise You, Lord, that You would have been absolutely righteous and just to keep hating us for all eternity. And yet You chose to save us and make us Your children. And so, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the imputation of our sins and our worthlessness to Him and His worth to us. Father, I pray for anyone here today that may not know this sweet exchange, Lord, that they would come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. And God, we pray for ourselves as believers, Father, that You would, by Your Spirit, show us ways in which we're living still like the worthless man. Lord, show us ways in which we're haughty and proud and ways in which we're not as truthful as we should be. Lord, show us ways in which our feet run to do evil. Show us ways in which we may be sowing discord. Lord, show us ways in which we're unloving. Father, show us ways in which we may be living out these things that You say You hate. And we pray, God, by Your Spirit, You would grant us repentance to turn from these sins and follow Christ. And so help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.